गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्दोतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. After that, we always will chant the prayer at the beginning here. You remember where it is in the book, that first one. So always you can be ready for it there. I'll chant quarter by quarter, and you can chant that. So like this. Vasudevendra Yogindram.
Vasudevendra Yogindram.
Natva Jnanapradam Gurum.
Natva jnanapradam gurum.
Mumukshunam hitarthaya.
Mumukshunam hitarthaya.
Tatva bodho bhidhiyate.
Tatva bodho bhidhiyate.
Like this, it's traditional. This is actually from the Upanishads, from the oldest texts. They have a prayer at the beginning, a Shanti mantra there. So, as a preparation there. And so because it's in the original like this, it's just tradition like this, that text will have a certain prayer at the beginning to focus it and everything. So that's why it's traditional. Always when you start studying each time, you repeat that amongst other things. So small review from last week, where last week was, this is recording, yes, was a bit of, we discussed some things starting to go into depth in some points. So what the main thing we discussed last time is about satyam and mithya. This is a very, very, very important topic, and something we'll go into more and more, because again, it's in the crux of everything. The satyam mithya is totally in the crux of what we're talking about. So we said that something is real, true, real is one thing. And so, like we say, something is in front of me, I'll say, this is real. Yes, something is here. There's a whiteboard here, so it's here, right? And then we say something is unreal. And we gave the classical examples of the horns of a rabbit or the son of a barren woman. And then we said we can take the more universal modern example, which can never be, that you can never not have, that is the square circle. But that's just not possible. So there's something totally unreal. So with these, we don't have a problem. Something unreal, I have no problem. Something totally real, you know, like this. But then the problem is, what do we do about the snake that we met last time? The snake we couldn't say is real because it's not there. But you can't say it's totally unreal because it really had an effect on you, so it can't just not be there. So where is it? What is it? And so this one falls between the cracks. So we're very smart, just like if you go now to any restaurant, any place, they used to have one bin for garbage, now they have one for landfill, one for recycling. So they'll put another one for, you know, for compost. So we can put another bin, no problem. But the thing is, just having a bin and throwing in there won't do. Because the snake still bothers us, so we didn't just put it in the bin, it still bothered me. So meaning it didn't totally solve the problem. So having to understand this difference, there's a difference between appearance and real. So what is mithya? What do we mean by that? Mithya, it means something that doesn't have independent existence. This is really what it means. Because like, for instance, I was saying, I have this, and I see that Malini has a golden mala, right? Because she's Malini, so she has the golden necklace. So we'll say it's a necklace, but necklace isn't a substance. Substance is gold. So necklace, from perspective of gold and necklace, we say it's mithya, because what happens is gold, there's no substance called necklace. If I take away the gold, what's left? Right? If I melt it down, where's the necklace? It'll be just like the it'll be exactly like the snake and rope. Why? Because in the snake and the rope, under certain conditions the snake appeared. Here also under certain conditions that the jeweler made it into a certain shape. Tomorrow it melts down, it's gone. So under certain conditions it appears like that, certain not. So name and form and functionality, we say, belong to mitya, not to the substance. The rest of it is the substance. So this is what we said. So we said, so underlying everything then will be the one reality behind it, where everything else, just like the gold isn't reality, yet the gold is the reality in this case. So of course it's not the absolute reality, but it's, you know, relative here. So like this, absolutely there will be substance behind everything. Because you just take it very simply, the whole world, Big Bang, is here. Before that, what the substance was still there, can't just come out of nowhere. So anything you see here, the substance comes from the same place, that one substance. So that's one thing we talked about. Second thing we talked about is about the about Atma and Anatma. What is self, what is non-self. And that's most of the rest of these classes, we're going to be dealing with that specifically in these three classes that are left. When we do the other classes afterwards, we'll start getting to the other aspects. As if you remember, we said we'll deal with Jiva, Jagat, Ishwaram, individual, the universal, and the God. These three we're going to tackle. So in these six classes, the first half of the book pretty much is about individuals. So that's what we'll be tackling the rest of these classes, about Atma and Atma Viveka, what is self, what is not self. And we said, what is self is not, there's whatever is changing, it is not, we is not the essence. Just like in the universal, we said was mitya. So whatever is the changing part of me is mitya, because I was there before whatever it is appeared, right? When it's there, I'm still there. When it's gone, I'm still there. So I was still there the whole time. So that way, it can't be the substance, because I'm still there, same one. Before, what happens is, if we meet in 10 years, we'll come and meet here in 10 years, we'll come and I'll say, oh, how are you? And I'll say, how do you recognize me? I say, I saw you here 10 years ago, you came for Tattva Bodha class. I say, how do you know? Well, I can see you look the same. Well, I say, you don't look a day older. I'll be very polite. And then what'll happen is, you'll say, but not one cell's the same from before. So how do you know it's me? So everything changed, but you're still the same one. So showing that the body changed, but I'm the same one. So this one belongs to mitya. Now what happens in Vedanta when I'm studying about myself, most of the study will be what I'm not, not what I am. Because what I am is it's not an object like other things. It's not that I can, I have a book in front of me. I say, here it is. Point at it. You can't point at it because it's you. It's not body, it's not mind, not this. It's you, so it's not a substance, something that can become an object. Subject never becomes object. If something is subject and becomes object, meaning it's not absolute subject. Just like gold, we'll say, well, that's the satyam, but it's not really satyam because it's also, it also changes, it also is made from something else, just relative. So relative satyam, but not absolute satyam. So myself, absolute satyam can't be body like this. So the actual one, we can't put the finger on because it's too subtle. It's self-apparent and what's always there. Now, what happens, what's always there is hard to put the finger on because it's always there. So you don't know what it is that it's not there. So like this. So in any case, so most of the study about myself is what I'm not. If I understand what I'm not, then what is left will be self-apparent. This is the idea of this. So today, what Tattva Bodha will start focusing on that, on one way to look and understand of what I'm not. This is about the different layers of myself as an individual. Okay, so that's what we go into today. So here, in this small book, it's the chapter, The Three Bodies, which is here, page 32. It's some other page in yours, because yours is a new version. They change the page numbers to make life interesting. Otherwise, you know, what would we focus on? So this. So in any case, so I'll read the Sanskrit and then we'll start discussing this. So he says here like this, Stula Shariram Kim, the student says, what is Stula Shariram? Now, all the questions come from previous, because earlier he said, what is self? It's not the three bodies. It's not the five koshas, the five layers. It's not the five sheets. It's not the three states of consciousness. So today, one of those groups of things he said it's not, we discuss, which is the three bodies. And what he said, stula, sukshma, and karana, sharira, three ones. So we start with stula, sharira, first one he mentioned. So it says, my glasses aren't the strongest. Some days better, some days worse. Panchi krita, panchamahabhutai kritam, satkarma janyam sukadukkadi bhoga yatanam shariram asti jayate vardhate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashyati iti chadvikara vat etat stula shariram. Like this. I better glass these for puja later. So what is the stula shariram, he's saying? What is this? The gross body. Stula sharira means gross body. That which is made up of the five great elements that are grossified. And this whole thing, explanation he gives, means that are grossified. Like this. That is there as a result of the good actions of the past. The counter of experiences, like joy, sorrow, etc., and subject of the six modifications to potentially exist, to be born, to grow, to mature, to decay, and to die, is the gross body. So everything is analyzed, everything is explained, because even though I say, oh yeah, I know this is my body, yeah, but everything is looked at in order to clarify everything about it so that that helps with my subtle discrimination. Because what happens is, I have to, in order to really understand I'm not the physical body, I have to really analyze everything about, see why I'm not that. So that's why it's looked at closely, these different aspects of it. So that's why it doesn't, you know, some things would be just obvious, it still discusses, okay? So let's go through what these different points are. First of all, he says, panchik, it's grossified. Because what happens is this, everything in the world that comes into creation comes from something subtler. Example is, you know, when we were hanging around before the universe came into being, when we were waiting for the universe to come into being so that we could, you know, finally when it'll be here, we can come to Shivananda Center to Tattva Bodha class, right? Then it wasn't manifest. So it was something subtle. Then it manifests into something grosser. So creation goes from subtle to gross. Or another example is, this Swami Tejomayananda, who's now the acharya, the head of Chinmaya Mission, he had the idea that he has to write this commentary, or his guru Swami Chinmayananda told him you should write this commentary on Tattva Bodha. So it was an idea, thought. Then it manifests, and now the physical book is here. So it starts from gross, from subtle to gross. So about this, how the subtle goes into gross, we're not going to go into now. When we get to the universal, we'll get into there. But one thing, this is made out of gross elements. So this whole thing where he says the grossified, he gave a little bit more elaboration on it. We'll deal with it later. But the most important thing, it's made out of gross elements. It's made of gross material, right? It's not made out of just, you know, some thoughts like this. Yes, that too, energy, which is subtle, but it's the grossest form, physical material. So that's one thing about it. Physical body is the gross material. So that's number one. What else did he say about it? He said, bhoga ayatanam. bhoga ayatanam. It is the counter for experience. Because what happens, we come into this world because we want to experience things. That's what we want. We say, I want to have things. Having is also I experience. What does it mean to have? That I can have an experience. That's why I'm here. If I didn't want to experience anything, I wouldn't come. Why would I come here to this world? There has to be a reason. And without wanting to experience anything, none of us would be here. You know, there has to be some incentive. So in this way we come in. What suggestion I have, there's very good commentary there. Read it later, because otherwise if you try to hear what I'm going to say and what he's going to say, it's going to be very difficult. Just suggestion.
This question. Counter of experience, I kind of stumbled on that. So that means a person who is counting, not the opposite.
No, it's a counter. Just like the counter where you come to the shop.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is, if you want to open shop, you need a physical location for it. Otherwise, how are you going to open shop? I want to go buy a book. You need a place for it to be. Otherwise, how are you going to do it? You're going to say, well, now Amazon doesn't have llamas and it's huge warehouses. It's just you don't see them. But you need it for physical things. There needs to be some physical place to do it. So if I want to participate in the world, I need a physical body to participate in it. I can't participate without it. You can't do it by some ephemeral thing. How are you going to actually touch things and interact? You can't. So you need the vehicle to do it with. So that's where how this thing is needed for that. So that's what this is. It's literally your shop, your open shop. There's a shop for, what is a shop for? For business, for interaction, for trade, right? And this is all trade, the whole world. I'm trading, I'm putting things out and I'm getting things in. So it's, we're all business people like this. So that's the whole world as an individual. It's the interaction is a exchange like that. So this is the counter for exchanging like this. So that's what it is. Next he says shariram. This is one important thing. Why do we call it body? What does the word body mean other than we know what it is, but meaning not just what dictionary meaning is, but where does the word come from? Somebody who's maybe a linguist here knows. I don't know.
I don't know, but it reminds me of the word bodhisattva.
that's a good idea. So what happens in Sanskrit, words aren't just randomly given. Meaning the root of the word has a reason for it. It's not just, let's just call this X. Okay, good. Again, body might have, I have no idea. English for grammarians is probably more difficult because it comes from many languages, so to find the root of things is probably much harder. But in Sanskrit, they're from verbal roots. So it's all from Sanskrit, you have to go to Sanskrit only, which is a nice thing. Shariram, that which withers away, right? That which is temporary. So, like this. So because it's here for some time, it goes. So it's such a better name for it that we know that's what it is. It's not something, and atma is something that doesn't change, that doesn't wither away. Body is something that withers away. So that's why shariram. A different word for body is also deha. Deha is something that's going to be burnt, because two reasons. One reason is after I die, then if I come from Hindu culture, then they're going to burn the body. Some other cultures do, right? They burn the body. And this, I was very surprised. I didn't know about this thing till a few years ago. I saw where they have places where they cremate, and they within the walls, your little cubby, and they keep you there. And this, I thought that I'd never seen that before. It was very interesting. But in any case, and another reason is it's also burnt by all the afflictions in the world. My knee pain, my indigestion, my headache, the trouble. So it gets burnt while alive, and after dying gets burnt too. Like this. So in this way, so the naming is very important too. So there's a reason for the naming. So that's why it's called shariram, because it's something that is there temporarily. It's going to be there and then it's going to go. So this is why shariram, why they call it this. Because everything here in the nomenclature is giving every, there's good, as you see, there's when he's giving these points, there's reason for everything to help our understanding. It's not just randomly, okay, here's a quick explanation of it. So he said, shariram. Then what happens, it goes through different modifications. So the modifications, he said, first, asti, which is there potentially. You know, you could say whether maybe after the here most probably meaning you've been conceived, so you're not physically haven't manifested yet, you haven't been born yet, but the body already starts existing as a few cells like this. So it already has potential existence, you could say. The potential existence asti, like this, okay. Jayate, it's born, it comes into being, right? Like this. Then it says vardhate, it grows, because the body grows. We all see that, right? Then afterwards, because originally we were, you know, small like this, now we're so much bigger. Vardhate is viparinamate next, let's see. Viparinamate, it matures, because it goes a certain state of maturity. Apakshyate, then after some state, you know, matures, then it reaches a certain pinnacle, and then slowly it vipakshyate, slowly it starts to decay, and then vinashyati, then it dies. Like this. So the body goes through this transformation. That's what it is. Now, one thing about it which is important is, as it is mithya, meaning the substance was there before the body came into existence and after the body goes. It's not like a new substance, right? So on Vishnu would say our pizza and banana body, right? That's pizza banana. For us Western is pizza banana. For you it's sambar and rice. Yes, okay. And so like this. So it's the material is there before, during, and after it's gone. So nothing new. It's not something new that came into being. It's just a modification. Because it's all the material that's in that composed your body was there before you were born, while you're here, when you're gone. You know. So as we were discussing last time, it's more closer to a wave than to thinking of a solid object. Because like a wave, the wave goes through these potential existence, then it starts coming up, you know, same thing. And then eventually it goes. Where did the wave go? Well, everything that was there, both the energy and the material was there before and it's there after, it just isn't in that form. So that's physical bodies like this. Then what else he says? So this is the gross body. That's what I say. So now this is what we say is this one. One of the bodies, one of the layers that we look at, that I have as an individual being. Okay, that's one. Let's see the next one that he discusses, because three bodies, if you remember. So three of them he discusses. Give me 1 second. I'm going to take these are one, the other one are one and a half. Huh. See? Emergency glasses. 1.5 glasses are more important. Because we want to know extra well, right? So extra well, one isn't enough. Magnifying glass. I have a conspiracy theory that a few years ago, everything was perfectly clear, and somebody went and smudged all the text.
Yeah.
You also went through these things. It's true, then. So now, sukshma sharira, subtle body. So what is he going to say about sukshma sharira? He says, apanchi krita pancha mahabhutaihi kritam sat karma janyam sukha dukadi bhoga sadhanam pancha jnanendriyani pancha karmendriyani pancha pranadayaha manaschaikam buddhischaika evam saptadasha kalabhisaha yattishtati tat sukshma shariram. So this is the sukshma shariram. One of the points I missed in the previous one, he said punya karma janyam. He said that. I missed that when I mentioned in the physical body. What happens is it's born due to Why did it come into being? We said, I want to come here, right? So what happens is, how come I got this specific body? How come I get a human body? Must be from some efforts in the past. Nothing comes out of nowhere. How can something come into, just fall from the sky? You know, not, things aren't random. Everything that comes into being comes for a certain reason. Because everything that exists means something brought it to there. So there's every effect has a cause. So you can't just have come out of nowhere. Why this? So it has to do with previous actions. Otherwise, nature wouldn't randomly throw it together, because nature works by very specific rules. So it can't just randomly throw things together. That's one thing. And then the God wouldn't be impartial and say, here, you have this crippled body, and you have this healthy body, and go to the Olympics and flip around on snowboards, right? It wouldn't be like that. That it doesn't work like that, right? So it's due to my previous karma. So it's due to good previous karmas, because if I came as a dog, I would live like a king. It would be like heaven. Especially here, not in third world country, maybe, but here. Because here, I'm taken for a walk when I want, I lie around, I eat nicely, I don't have any responsibilities. Right? But I can't really think much. More than a dog bone or I want to scratch on the head. You know, a little, not too much more than that. So meaning, how will I understand something deeper? How will I understand who am I? Without the human abilities, it's not possible. So for this higher goal we talk about, you need the human body for it. As a plant or animal, it's not going to work. They don't have the instrument for it. So that's why from some very good previous karmas, then we get a human birth like this. So that's why I said that. But moving on to, that's filling what we missed, now to our sukshma sharira. So first of all, the non-grossified, it's made also from the elements, but non-grossified, from subtle. Because when I think, you know, thought, the same things I can see, but they're subtle, so I can't touch them, but they seem to be very similar. So they're made from same material, but subtler. And again, when we go into how the whole world is built later on, second part of the course, we'll talk about that. But it also has to be made out of some substance. So it's made out of subtle substance, not out of gross substance. This is what this is going to be, what the subtle body is made out of. That's the difference, like this. So that's the material that it's made out of. And then satkarma janyam, same thing. Made out of, created from our good karmas. Sukha dukkhadi bhoga sadhanam. The physical body was the counter for experience. Here it's the means for it. It's like a toolkit. You have a house so you can live in there comfortably. And then in the house, you have a telephone. Well, now you carry the phone with you, but you know, let's say you have your computer. Now everything we carry with us, the computer's not big. No, you have this. You have the heater, right, so you can enjoy. You have the bed so you can sleep nicely. You know, whatever, you have all the tools there for it, so the instruments. So this is the difference. These are instruments for, here I have an instrument for saying nice things like this, right? I have an instrument for seeing beautiful things with my eyes. So in this way, what happens is the instruments are there. Now this being said, any instrument for being used like this, like my eyes that I said for an example, the eyes, it's has both hardware and software. This is the wonderful thing about our day and age, that we have computers that are very good for explaining the difference between the subtle and the gross. Because eyes, there's what's called golakam. Golakam is the physical component. That's golakam. Indriya is the subtle component, like the software. That's in the subtle body. So in the physical body, you have what we call golakam. Physical eyes, physical ears. Subtle body, we have what we call indriya. And indriya is the subtle component. So the seeing is subtle, eyes, the subtle portion, the seeing. the physical eyes are the gross when the gola come like this. So like this for each one of our senses. Let's see how we got to.
So would golakam kind of be like the hardware and
Exactly. And indriya is software. Exactly. That's how it works. That's the difference between the two. And both are needed for experiencing. And what happens is sometimes you'll have cases where they don't know why the person doesn't see or why the person doesn't feel in the hand, right? They can't physically find out something disconnected, subtly disconnected, it's not getting there. So, you know, like I don't understand why there's not electricity or they can't find why. Well, it's some, you know, some problem in the electric flow. Because the problem could be a physical one, there's disconnect, or the problem can be electric flow, there's no electricity flowing now for some reason, it's blackout. So it could be from either one of these like that. So this is how it works. So in this way it has. Now what happens is, so he talks about these. He says, first of all, there's pancha karma indriyani. So karma indriya. There's karma indriya. And there is karma indriya is karma. Karma indriya is karma indriya. Those who take the sensor A-E became A, okay? The sensory people, now you can just, you can see how it's helpful for you. Karmendriya. And there's Jnanendriya. These two different ones. Jnanendriya. Here he said Jnanendriyani, because that's plural, that's all. But this is singular, what I wrote. So we have two different types of instruments. When you have your computer, you have output. You have a printer, you have a speaker, right? You have these printers. This you have. You know, I can send messages out. There's some way to send something out. So there's output. There's also input, the keyboard, right? The mouse or touch like this. Mic is input. So you have input and output. So karma is action. So that's the output because I do something. Jnana, knowledge. I experience something. So knowledge. So we have both of these types of instruments here. So each five of each, five and five. Everything is five and five, and when we get into how the whole world comes together into being, then we can discuss about how that works. But I have five, so for instance, with the karmendriyani, then I have hands, grasping, right? Grasping ability. I have legs, walking ability, like this. I have my tongue, right? Talking ability. You know, this one, then we have excretion and we have reproduction. So five like this, five different organs which we do activity. Then we have five organs where I experience the world. Experiencing, I have like this hearing, right? Touch, feeling, seeing, tasting, the tongue, smelling. So five like this. And interesting, these ones are all, of course, the skin is everywhere in the body, but the others, they're very close to the brain. You know, we think we're very good designers compared to what the designer, the inner creator, we're nothing. You know, any little thing we would do different, it wouldn't fucking, how it's functioning so amazing. Yeah? We think we compare all our engineers together to that, it's nothing. So in any case, one thing Swami Shivananda, he says that the tongue then is a double-edged sword because too much output and too much input. So if we were talking about control of senses, dhamma, if we can control our tongue, just eat what's needed and just speak what's needed, we're masters at dhamma, at controlling senses. It's the number one. Like this. Yeah. So in any case, so we have these two. So this is some of the equipment we have. And in there he said there are 17. It's a toolkit that has 17 things. So these are 5 and 5, so that's 10. Now what happens, we said the software is installed so the physical can work. So what happens for any physical component to work, it also needs something to move. Like this hardware also has, you know, it needs electricity, so it needs electricity to make it move. It needs something to make the... you know, if there's a hard drive that's spinning, it needs something there using kinetic energy properly. So it has to, any instrument is going to have certain components that without it, it won't function. Otherwise, it's not, you know, a tool needs to have that. You know, a hammer, of course, is different. Just a hammer, but it's a slightly more complex tool. And a hammer doesn't do anything its own. It needs something that does move, right? You know, if I have a drill, yes, then the drill has electric and kinetic energy like this, or it wouldn't work. So with this, we have certain energies also. And these energies, they make the physiological functions work. Because what is a physiological function? This energy manifests in a certain way. So there are five of these also. Five, five, five. So five, these are prana, the five pranas. Pranas are the energies, right? Five energies. This one he mentions in the verse that we hear here, but this one and the other subtle components, it's not mentioned in here. Either it was lost, because these texts, you know, that they just exist is a miracle. So could be parts are lost, or it was just oversight, or whatever, whichever way, we don't know. But in any case, the five pranas, we have there are five of them. One of them is called prana also. They're all prana, but one is called prana. You know, like you have, you know, Junior, they name somebody Junior. So this one is the respiration, because to live, we need that. Maybe that's why it's named after the name of prana, because the number one most important one. Maybe that's why it's called the same as energy in general. Apana, these will all be, maybe they're not listed here. They're probably in the commentary, they must be. There's no way it won't be in the commentary. Apana is excretion, throwing out all waste product through excretion, through sweating, because the system also has to throw out what's not needed. That's the second thing. Then there is the samana. Samana, I have to digest and I have to, you know, make things become part of the system. So digestion and assimilation is samana. There's vyana. Vyana is circulation, right? I have to bring things to where they're needed. And last one is udana. Udana is reversal, for, you know, kind of like the fire department, because I ate something that's not good. What's my system going to do? It's going to make me vomit, right? Like this. I breathe in, you know, and there's too much dust, I'll sneeze. So it does things to reverse, throw things out. So it literally reverses the function of what that energy would usually, the other energies would do for, you know, for protecting the system. And then also what happens when we die, udana is very important, because, you know, if you're living in San Francisco and there's, you know, there's rent control and you're there for 25 years and they want to get you out, you know, and even they give a document for you to leave, a lot of times they'll say, I'm not going anywhere, forget it. I live here with this, I don't. So what happens is they have to evict you, right? So if I'm living in this body for 70, 80 years, I don't want to leave this. I'm so very comfortable. I don't know what else is there. So I have to be evicted. You know, eventually the lease is up. I have to be evicted. So it also helps to evict me. It helps for that too. So like this. So that's it. Udana also has that functionality as well. So those are, he said 17. So this is 5, 5, and 5. Two others are what he says here, manaha and buddhi. Manaha is mind. And buddhi is intellect. So these are not two different things, but different functionalities of the same instrument. Where manaha, what it does is what's called sankalpa vikalpa, thinking, doubting. Because you churn, the mind churns, it thinks, it's thinking different things. Oh, should I go to San Francisco Center today? We have the class. Yeah, I'm a little bit tired, I don't know. Maybe I can log on remotely, I'll see. Class is nice, but it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit hard to follow. But it's very important because I really want to study this thing. It's a good opportunity. Yes, you know. But this good movie, I heard my friend said we should go. This is sankalpa vikalpa, you know, thinking, doubting like this. The buddhi is the rational ascertaining part. It's just the clear thinking, decisive part, because the one is more information, this is the actual clear thinking like this. So both of these are functions of the mind, and both are needed. Because information is needed, mind has to churn it, and then some decision has to be done, right? As I walk, and it's all abusing all the time. I'm walking, you're driving, you're always thinking this car, this, but you're making decisions what to do, to stop, to go, to turn, change lanes. The intellect is one making the decision, the mind is churning all the information. So both are always, you know, are necessary like this.
Where's Udana?
Udana is the reversal. Reversal in, sorry, you know.
Then Vyana.
Vyana is circulation.
Oh.
Like this. So that's mostly that's what this is. Now one other point he's going to get into, which also we're not going to discuss yet. We'll leave it for the latter part of the course. But one thing that's just since he brings it up here in when he's talking about the subtle body, he does mention different devatas, different deities for each one of the senses. Now what happens is this. We have the electricity coming in here, right? So it's a certain power, there's a certain power in the outlet here. But this and you know, when I come to your house and they say, hey, you have an outlet too. Interesting, wow. So lo and behold, the energy flowing to them is coming from the same powerhouse, right? It's just manifestation coming from that same one. It's not a different one, right? So any power like this that's there is any power you have manifests in some place is some manifestation, universal power. You know, I'm sitting, you know, when I trip, I fall down, right? When you trip, you fall down too, I think, you know. I saw some of those people doing this snowboarding yesterday for like a little bit on TV. Amazing, they don't fall down, they just go, you know, flipping in this. I thought, oh my God, this is these people. But in any case, but you know, they do go up, but the same laws make them come down afterwards like this. So it's one gravity that's doing this. It's one electricity coming through. So my power to see, ability to see, that is a manifestation that's the same in any one that can see. It's the same manifestation, you know. Like I have my phone, I put on, you know, Google Maps. It's the same manifestation Google Maps as you have, or Waze. I use Waze. But. So in this way, I see its manifestation, same thing as you're seeing, and as the dog sees, and as whatever other animal sees. I can touch, I can feel, same as any other living being. When they touch, they feel, it's manifestation, that same one. So the universal principle behind it is the deity. Like this, there's one universal principle for it. It's not different for each one of us. Movement, locomotion, there's movement. Movement, there's some universal principle there. That universal principle is the devata, is the deity, like this. So this is how this connects into universal. And again, later we'll get into more how everything connects with the universal. So in this way, the individual, everything comes from the universal. It's not the wave in the ocean, everything it has, material and subtle. Subtle is the momentum, the direction it moves, the speed. It came from, you know, from the ocean. It's not separate from the ocean. That is the power of the ocean pushing it. Same thing like that here. One other thing you can see about it, another way you can understand this principle, is when you have a certain energy, a certain ability, it's part of some universal ability. It's not just my individual thing. Just like if the policeman is going to come here, at one time years ago, at the previous place where we had center for many years here in San Francisco, then what happened was there was Homa, where the ritual where they have a fire ritual, there's fire and they're offering into the fire. And what happened was this South Indian priest was here doing everything, and some neighbor must have seen the smoke coming from the window and called the fire department. So the firemen came in, and they're all sitting and doing, the firemen just came in and put it out, even though people were doing the fire like this. So he did that. Okay, so he left. So the priest, you know, he just went, took and made a little small lamp and started continuing doing his ritual. You know? So the fireman that came in, he has a certain power to do, which is, you know, granted to him from the city. He has a certain ability and certain, you know, region he takes care of in this, and you know, he has certain functionality he can do, and it's given to him from the city. So his power to do that is part of the power of the city or the county or whatever it is, he, you know, whoever gave him the job. So in this way, it's one individual manifestation of that one. Now, let's say tomorrow he's fired. They find out that he's fired.
No pun intended.
If he's fired, then he doesn't have that power given to him from the city. You know, he can go and do things, but as representing the city, he can't do it because he's not anymore. Because maybe the center complained. They didn't complain or anything. What's the big deal? You know. So in this way, the power invested in him from the city is part, it's from that. So I have a certain power to speech, I have a power to see in these things. It's an individual manifestation of the universal one, like that, not just of my own. Because think, how did it's all the energy came from the world, came into me, and it's going back to where did there's a certain amount of energy in me. It was there before I'm here, it'll be there after I'm gone too. So where did it come from? Where is it gonna go? It's not gonna disappear.
So what would you say, like Ganesh?
Don't take that. That's nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. Yeah. Don't think of deities like that. Don't take.
So it's just energy.
We'll discuss more about them later. But in general, just the principle that every power you have is part of a universal power, and every part, that's the most important thing. It's not an individual thing, and the permutation you have in you is a universal thing. Just like seeing is a universal. There's a universal principle that manifests you. Walking, moving, universal principle. Mm-hmm. Just a manifestation within you of that universal principle. That's the most important thing.
That we all share.
Just like the waves in the ocean, they're all the same oceans pushing them. So one thing in this way. So this is the important point to take from here. Which ones are this? Don't worry about that now. We can discuss more later. And the deities you're talking about, they're not from this. They're ones more... Maybe some will be tied in, but mostly not. Mostly these are ones will be worshipped as symbol of, you know, the infinite God in this. Here we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, powers, abilities like this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so slightly different like that. Okay. So very good. So then this is the subtle body made out of these 17 principles. You know, nice toolkit we have. We come in this, and there. So. And actually, one important point here, actually, which is, if you remember, we, in the fourfold means that we discussed at the beginning, the third one was the internal wealth, or sixfold virtues. Why this is so important is the physical body I'll have for some time, and it'll go. But the subtle body's still there when it goes. And the subtle body, after some time, depending on my karmas, I'll come and I'll get other body. You know, very negative, very bad, then maybe it can be lower birth because, you know, I flunked like this. Or most people probably come back, other physical human body like this somehow. But in any case, what happens is, so this one's going to come and go, but that one, the impressions I have in there, they stay with me for a long time. So that's a much more important investment. Because why do I have certain tendencies now? I have certain tendencies I was born with. My brother, growing up same place, some similar and some different tendencies. And they don't come out of nowhere. You know, anybody who you have children or nephews, nieces like this, you know that they come in different characters when they're little. It didn't come out of, why do they have different characters? So it's the different impressions from the past. So what happens is, for me to grow, I need the more. I need the good instrument. So the most positive, best, internal one is important. So having the creating, getting rid of negative habits, negative thoughts, patterns, creating the positive one, so important, because it's not just going to be for now, it's going to be for, you know, long term, for other lifetimes too. So Swami Shivananda, he must have gotten it from everything he got, is not just his original, all from these scriptures and everything, is, you know, somebody who kills you once, they kill you once. You know, you die now, okay, then another lifetime, that was your karma now. But somebody who puts the, you know, the negative things in the mind, who implants this is doing much more harm, because many lifetimes now I can be stuck with it. So it's a much worse thing. So, but the main point is just that's why having the positive and healthy thought habits, getting rid of the negative ones, so important, because they'll disturb me now, they'll disturb me next life until I get rid of them.
I guess that's so why important. The Pratipaksha Bhavanam.
Pratipaksha Bhavanam, yeah.
Is such an important.
Yeah, of countering with the opposite type of thought. I think impatience, I change it to
positive
thought patience. Very important, because you're slowly building other thought patterns. Very, very important. Because again, let's say I can't, you know, if I know who I am, I get out of cycle, everything fine. But until then, first of all, I need to prepare properly. So I need to have the mind has to be the most, you know, the most developed one, most positive, deep understanding one. And also, I may live in it for many lifetimes. So I need to, what's more important, that, okay, I'm getting my physical body be in the best shape, or this, or that my inner world, you know, my inner world, I have to live in all the time, day in, day out, for lifetimes. So that's why very important to, you know, to work on that. So important. Because death is the subtle body leaving the physical body gone, subtle body still there, you're born again, it's still there, it didn't go away.
If it's still there, can we ask, where is it? We can't see it, we don't know where it's at.
Yeah, let's not get into that now, we can discuss other time, but it's not in it. Not an essential thing.
Yeah,
for this.
It's not something
we can discuss some other
on.
Time. Yeah, let's get other times we can
sure.
get into that. But it's not something that is essential for what we're doing. But it's not going to be physically here like this. So in any case, this is subtle body. Okay. Now. He goes into the third one, because if you remember, he said three bodies is called Karana Sharira. This is the causal body. So here he's asking then, Karana Shariram Kim, which I skipped ahead because I didn't read all this of all the senses that he discussed. Anirvachya Anadya Vidyarupam Sharira Dvayasya Karana Matram Sat-svarupa-jnanam nirvikalpa-karupam yadasti tat-karana-shariram. So what is this causal body? He's saying, that which is inexplicable, beginningless, in the form of ignorance, the sole cause of the two bodies, the gross and subtle, ignorant of one's own true nature, free from duality, is the causal body. So one thing is, nothing can come into being without having a cause for it. Nothing can manifest without having a cause. So for me to have the physical body, the subtle body, has to have something where it comes from. So what happens is, when you have something that is the cause is embedded in the effect. Because if I were to take some milk and I make yogurt out of it, you're going to say, where's the milk? Oh, it's right here in the yogurt. I don't see it. Well, it's the yogurt. It came from it. So you can't. The cause doesn't disappear. It's in the effect, and the cause is going to also be something subtle that you don't see. When I hold this up here, and I say, if we're in a physics class, I say, okay, this is 1 meter over the ground, and this is the gravity. So it has this much potential energy, which we can calculate. Which if my high school physics teacher were to come, he would yell at me because I don't remember anything about it. But then I study physics, then I know. I'll say, well, you know, I had 35 years to forget it. So, so in any case, what happens is a certain potential energy we don't see. But then it manifests, we see it dropping. So, you know, it hits the ground, it breaks a little, so we see it manifest. So the energy, I don't see the cause there. Because the cause is unmanifest, where the effect is manifest. It's just like when you take the seed. When you have a seed, there's a whole tree in there. But if you cut it open and take a microscope, you're not going to see the branches and the leaves and the fruit. You're not going to see all that because it's just not visible, right? You can't fix. So it's an unmanifest state. So we also can be in unmanifest state. And every night we're in unmanifest state when we go into deep sleep, right? You go, when you're in deep sleep, no body, no mind, anything, you disappear, you're gone, right? When you're under anesthetic, you have operation, you're gone. But suddenly manifest again. Where was it all that time? Went into potential state like this. So this way, the that's the causal body is this. Because everything goes into manifestation, out of manifestation in the world. The whole universe, not manifest, you can't see, right? When before Big Bang, unmanifested. Then Big Bang happened. That's manifest. Where was it? It was in a causal state, potential state, not manifest yet. So as an individual, we have that. Now what happens also is, what is, as we said, what's in the cause is in the effect. It's not going to be something different, right? I went to the store and I bought seeds. We have a vegetable garden. Please come see sometime, especially in the spring, because this time we have nothing. And I planted tomatoes and broccoli and these Indian vegetables, lauki, you know lauki? And I don't know what you call it, torti, you know torti, ridge squash. So much we had this year. Karela. Yeah, mm-hmm. Karela we grew. So all these things, seeds, my wife brought some from India, don't tell anybody. So in any case, so in the seed we planted and it came out. So where I planted the Karela, this is the bitter melon grew. Where I planted, of course, weeds too, but I didn't see the seed. Where I plant the tomato grew. Because whatever the cause and the whatever's in the cause is in the effect. So you're not going to plant a bitter melon seed and get a tomato and get a seed. So whatever I'm here is goes into the causal, into the, that's why I go to sleep, it goes into causal, I wake up, I'm manifest pretty much the same one, because so in this way. So the cause and effect will be similar, and the cause comes out of, you know, goes into unmanifest, comes into manifest. This is how everything works like this. So the points that he gave about it here, let's see what he was saying about it. He was saying, first of all, anirvachyam. Anirvachyam is an unexplicable. I cannot understand it because it's not manifest. If I want to, you look at the seed and you say, show me the tree in there. Well, I can't show it to you. It's not there. How can I show it to you? Another thing about it is it's inexplicable because the mind isn't there, intellect isn't there. When you go to deep sleep, right, then just causal body. Because physical body, when I'm awake, my physical body functioning, my subtle body in dream, my subtle body, mind, everything. Deep sleep, no physical body, no subtle body, only causal body. Where's my intellect and my mind? In the subtle body. So in the causal body, no intellect, no mind, because they're in potential state. So how can you know how can you explain it? How can you grasp it? It's not something the mind, because the mind comes later. You can't grasp it like this. I'll give a nice story they give to explain this. That this young boy, he's going for a walk with his grandfather on the beach, right? They're going for a walk. The young boy, first time he ever went to a wedding, right? Some cousin's wedding, something he went, so he enjoyed. So he asked the grandfather, did you also get married? I said, yes, I married your grandmother. Really? And how was it? Oh, it was even, these festivals are nothing. Now they do it, you know, a short time. Then it was many days and all this and so much. Really? And there was a lot of food and dance. Oh, yeah. Why didn't you invite me? Why wasn't I ever there? So the intellect wants to know the causal body. But what happens is, before the causal body is there before the intellect, before the intellect manifests, how can it go back to there? You know, like in deep sleep, there's no mind, no intellect. How can the mind grasp that? You can't put your finger on it then. It's pure avidya, pure ignorance. It's like pure darkness. In pure darkness, I don't see anything. The light comes, I can see. You're in potential state, then when light of awareness comes, I wake up, okay, then I can see. So this is what happens, how the potential state is there, then it's, you know, you cannot differentiate, undifferentiable, because the intellect can't get into there. It's not its domain. You know, kind of like things have different domains. There's stuff on my computer, internet. I want to go into there. I can't go. It's a different domain. I can't physically do it. It's not physically possible. You know, so physically go into the dream. I can't. The dream is subtle thing, mental. So same thing. The causal, you can't go into it, the intellect, because intellect isn't potential from there. So you can't go into it. That's why you can't explain. That's why it's ignorant. We say it's ignorant, pure ignorance, because you can't. You can't do it. But one thing about it, though, in causal state, though, is there's no duality, though. Because in your deep sleep, you don't feel I'm something different from something else. So there's pure, like this. If you remember the snake and the rope, there were two things that happened. One is ignorance, I didn't see clearly. And secondly, I jumped to conclusion it's something else. That we call avidya vikshepa. Avidya means ignorance. Here I had to have partial ignorance, not complete. Vikshepa, jumping to conclusion something else. So what happens is, in causal state, causal body, there is pure avidya, pure darkness. So you can't jump to conclusion something else, as I don't see the snake, the rope. So I can't think it's something else. So what happens in deep sleep state, which is, we'll churn this more next week, I know, because it is a subtle point. But then causal body, then there is just pure ignorance. Just pure ignorance, no other. Because for the other one, you need the mind. For thinking it's something else, I need mind. Otherwise, I can't. So this is, what else did he say about it here? Anirvachya, avidya rupam, it's made out of ignorance. Sharira dvayasya karana matram, it's the cause of the other two, which we discussed a little bit there. Sattva sarupa jnanam, it's the pure ignorance. The pure ignorance. What else do you say about when you translate that specific one here? Sattva sarupa jnanam. I know I exist. We'll leave that for later when we get to the other parts. Nirvikalpakarupam, unmanifest form. Yatasti tat karana shariram. This is what it is. That's what this one is. So again, undefinable, as we said. Just like if you remember, something else we said is undefinable. What is it that we said is undefinable? The mitya, whatever is mitya, right? Because if you remember, I as Atma then is not the physical body, the gross, not the subtle body, and not the causal body. It's not causal body either, because causal body is also it's also material. It's the subtlest form of material, because material and potential state, subtlest form. Universe before it comes into being, subtlest form universe could be, right? So it's subtle. So it's subtle, it's the subtlest form, but it's still material. Because one thing we had mentioned about Atma and Anatma, Atma is always sentient, conscious. Anatma, anything else is jada, it's insentient. So just like my body, my mind, we said, are insentient. They borrow they reflect light of consciousness. Same with the causal body, it's the potential for these, it's also insentient, it's not Atma. So causal body isn't Atma either, because Atma is none of these three. Because that's the potential for these two, for gross and subtle. So as soon as the potential for these two, whatever is in here is there in a subtle unmanifest form. So it is the potential for this, for separation. Even though in it we said there's no duality, but it's the potential for the duality, potentially ready to spring out like this. Mm-hmm. So it also isn't Atma like that. So I'll stop here. This karana sharira, and we'll discuss more next time. And actually, what we will discuss next time is leaning on these three bodies anyway, so it will help to review them also. So let's just take a few more minutes if anybody wants to ask about what we churned a little bit today, and then we can give any questions.
It's beyond the causal body, is there another one?
Nothing, three bodies. make
okay,
it simple.
We did all
three
bows. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Only have to count to three.
So you said that the causal body,
yeah,
is again, which, you know, it seems as things are falling into the category of either satyam or mithya.
It's also mithya.
And it's mithya.
Because if you remember, we said atma is yourself is satyam, anatma, non-self, is mithya. Now we said one of the in definition of atma, which now it's going into the details and now it's expanding on that, which it said one of the parts of the definition, it's beyond, it's not the three bodies. So now it's explaining what the three bodies are in order for us to make to clarify it's not any of these. So because if the
mean,
clarification what's
be
not
an actual words to describe atma?
There will be, yes. But I'm telling you, the more important is what it's not. One reason is otherwise we grasp onto a definition.
Yes.
And the definition is a pointer, but it has to be dropped too eventually too. But the definitions also help. It's not that they're not. But the most important is understanding what it's not. Really, because you know you're there. I have no question. But I have a confusion, so I have to drop the things that I confuse myself to be.
Okay.
That's why it's like this. Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking.
Uh-huh. What happens, this is a lot of information. So, you know, you read, actually, I wrote down, there's the chapter we just had, the three bodies. That's the chapter in the small book. 177 to 213 is where in the big book it covers
that's
this. So, you know, so the 177 to 213, the big book, chapter on three bodies in the small one. You can read about, can read notes. Tomorrow, I'll put this on the share drive so you can listen again if you want. I'm sure that could be helpful because so much stuff and new information. And, you know, you have questions about it, you can email or bring them up next class because, for sure, as we were discussing some of us before it started, you know, it takes time for to see, time to understand. It's something that's not a day or two. It takes time. But this is just to understand, like, the basic outline. Once basic outline understood from this, then slowly can study more and deeper and everything. That's the idea, how it goes. Yeah. Very good. So let's then finish for today.
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Sadguru Shri Shivananda Maharaj ki Jai. Sadguru Shri Vishnu Devananda Maharaj ki
Jai.
I'd like to point out also some of the time, some of the things that as you study, you don't totally understand, you don't grasp, and this. Don't get frustrated from it, just give it time. Because the thing is, if oh, I can't understand this, oh, it's not worth it. That can happen some of the time. So, you know, don't worry about it. Read it again later, listen later. Try to see why to understand, what questions I have about, you know, like that, slowly, slowly. Because some of the points may come up like that. But just be patient with it, okay? Because it'll be like that probably in anything you study. So in this, how it would be different. Good.
Thank you
very much. We'll continue the next time. Namaste, Satish. Good you can join remotely if you couldn't be here.
Thank you.